This is WGTDHD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, vice president for community and government relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Education Matters. I'm Bob Hegarty, and today I think you're going to find a very interesting conversation about what, well, the acronym is the EFK program, Educational Foundation of Kenosha. And today we have Steve Hansen, treasurer, and we'll find out how long he's been involved. And I know I'm going to mess it up, so I might as well get it. Eitan Benzikin. There we go. Eitan Benzikin, who is the president of the EFK program. Gentlemen, thank you, first of all, for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
We're going to talk a couple of things today. One is scholarships, and two is, I saw an article back in August about the teachers' grants. But before we do that, one of you give me an idea. How long has this been going on? What are the parameters? And I'm going to tell everyone, and I saw a date of March 15th. So if you're listening and saying, hey, I think my son, my daughter, my grandchild fits into these parameters, right around the middle of March is when you need to make sure you have already applied. Is that
That is correct.
There we go. So give us, when did it start?
So the foundation has been in existence since the early 80s. We were co-founded by a donor that wanted to do something with his funds when he passed on. And so they did. And I happened to be a neighbor of a person that was sitting on the board, and he was leaving town. And so he says, Steve, I think you'd be a good candidate to be a volunteer to an organization that you're interested in because of education. So that happened in the late 90s. So I've been on the board since probably 1998. So it's a few years. It's like 26 years. And I'm happy to serve only due to the fact that it furthers the education of our youth. Without this board, some children and students that are going on to further their education wouldn't have that opportunity. So it's all about furthering that educational opportunity for our youth.
So let's talk, what dollars are we talking about? So I saw a number of $1,000 grants. Can they be more? Can they be less? What are we looking at?
The grants range from $500 for some special reasons of anything that a person could even apply to come here to Gateway. There's $1,000, some $2,000, some $1,500, and even some are renewable to the point where they will pay, let's say, $2,000 for 4 years.
Okay, so that, because when I was doing my research and reading, a lot of it was talking about the idea that it was a one-time type of situation.
Can we just explain that what you're talking about, teacher grants? There's two ways that we give out money. One is teacher grants, the thousands and thousands a year, and then scholarships, thousands and thousands. So when we're talking about grants, we're looking at teachers who have applied, and there's three cycles of this. Teachers have applied. I want to do this innovative thing in my classroom or after school or with my kids. And then we fund that innovative thing because the school district, Kenosha Unified School District, can't fund it or doesn't have the funds to do that kind of stuff. So that's very exciting. And then there's scholarships. that we give out at the end of the year, and that's your March 15th date.
Okay.
That the application is due by March 15th so that we can, decide who gets the scholarships and then award them.
So the the money, it started off with the scholarship. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a donation, a bequest.
Correct.
Has there been other individuals? If there's somebody that is sitting there going, you know, I'm not a millionaire, but I would like to donate, is that still being done? Are you accepting funds to be able to help with that?
Yes, we are at any given time. We always look. Maybe that is one of our hardest things to do is as we have some people that are very interested but don't know how to do that. They could contact us. But, yes, we try to encourage those people that have that opportunity to put it into their will or put it into their trust to say, hey, how can I honor my mother and father? We've had a couple recently where there have been past school teachers that have been honored. Matter of fact, we are working with one donor currently right now, and we're going to actually meet with her on Thursday. And it, again, it's a teacher that was in the school district many years ago, but it's a way for her to honor her mother and father. So, yes, we look for those donations.
Yeah, it's very exciting when that happens. I think that that's probably the three-legged stool. The two is teacher grants and scholarships. The third is how do we as board member bring in a revenue, either through a golf outing we do annually or through donors, and then we get to hook up the donors with the either scholarship applications, or there's some donors that come in and say, I want this to go to teacher grants, and then we hook them up with that, and then give them feedback on where that money and that funds went, and it's very exciting.
So how many scholarships, and I know it, I'm sure it changes from year to year, but give us an idea. How many scholarships do you give in a year?
We typically give out, on average, about 15 to 17 scholarships a year. The EFK itself, through our donation process for doing our golf outing, we have an annual golf outing, as Eitan has just mentioned. That is one of our biggest fundraisers. So half of those proceeds actually go to two scholarships that the foundation has established, and one is for all majors and one is just to go ahead and, you know, do a teacher one, I believe it was. So our schedule goes through the process. They apply, we select them, and then the student goes to his first fall semester, submits paperwork to us. We make sure they have gone through that process, and then we go ahead and issue a check to the
institution.
Yes. And so that process goes on every year, and as we grow our funds or grow the scholarships, we could add more and more. But typically it's 15 to 17 scholarships a year.
Is it always college? Could it be if an individual is going to be in the trades? What are you looking for to be able to give that money away?
We're looking for anyone that goes in educational forward-looking, I want to say. So Gateway is a great example. We have two specific scholarships that do trades, and it's specifically for trades because that's how they wanted to honor the person that they set up the scholarship. Matter of fact, and it's an unfortunate occurrence when someone passes. We have one of the parents, Philip Swatko,
sure,
passed away.
Yep.
And again, it's parts of the trades. They wanted to make sure that they had to honor their son, and it's a trades one. So, yes, we do the varying school as long as it's going to further the education of that student. I mean, we're all for it. So,
yeah, it's exciting. There's one for music. Musical.
So what I'm getting is it's just not a blanket. There are special scholarships honoring individuals that go into particular areas.
Yeah, there's even one for just going abroad, either in high school or in college. It's just to make sure that they get the chance to go abroad. So that's really exciting. And also we get to read the applications of, you know, anywhere from dozens to hundreds of applicants, and really hear their stories. And, you know, it just regenerates us because, you know, when teaching youths, you know, the minds of youth, you mustn't forget their hearts. And they do an unbelievable job of doing things throughout high school that are just giving of themselves. And to hear those stories in the application is, even if you can't award all of them funds, it's really, it's a beautiful thing to just sit on the board and hear those things.
So give us an idea of the individual that applies. Give us a couple of stories, because that, I think that's going to really hit home to individuals that are listening today, that tell a little bit about some of the individuals and the impact that they would have upon getting that type of scholarship.
Yeah, so when I read in the application that there's a single parent with two jobs, they've had a job for 20 to 30 hours a week for their whole high school career. Well, that high school career was different than a kid who has maybe two parents, doesn't have to work, can really focus in on studies. If you have to do high school plus 20 hours a week, your life is different.
Well, you're talking about the idea of an individual not doing it because, I mean, I worked in high school because I wanted a 72 Camaro, not because I needed to work to help mom pay the rent.
Definitely.
Or to put food on the table for three or four people.
Definitely.
So, yeah, touch on that. And you come from a very a different area. If everybody doesn't realize, it's Eitan, right?
Yep, perfect.
Was principal of the year in 2020.
Yep.
And he is involved with Hillcrest and the Phoenix program.
Yep.
So you come from a really special background from what exactly you're talking.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I want to help kids that are disadvantaged, and this is an opportunity to do that. You know, we have two scholarships. One is education, if you're going into education, and hearing the stories of kids that have, you know, been counselors at the RecPlex for students with disabilities, or have TA'd and found a passion for helping kids, and then being able to award a scholarship to those kids to go and pursue that. I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Again, give me a couple of examples now of someone that has gotten the scholarships. And when we're done there, we're going to talk teachers.
There's so many that to put a name to a face today.
And you don't have to put a name. There's confidentiality, and I do, and we respect that. But the background of the individual, and what has that money helped them to achieve?
So even the student today that has a 1.5 grade average, totally not a person that's going to get a full boat scholarship going someplace. We have a scholarship just for those students that someone came up with that you can say, and it's not pity. It's, okay, what was the story behind this? And Eitan has the better background than I do. But when you read a scholarship application, get that student's, well, why does he have a 1.5?
Because he's working 60 hours a week, maybe? Because to help the family?
What was the problem during the last 2 years? Maybe there was a death in the family.
Mm-hmm.
There's turbulence in the family. So we don't get to see all of that, but then how we read and how we look at that application, you can figure out there was a problem. the student didn't handle it well and it affected his grade, because all of a sudden we do ask for a full transcript, and all of a sudden his grades went from B's and C's to D's and F's.
Sure.
So there was something there. So getting a scholarship, and some of them are very tidy with they must maintain a 3.0. Well, that's our guidelines that our donor has given us. But looking at applications of a student that's had trouble and being able to award a scholarship saying, we trust in you, the person that put the money into this, trust in you that you will enhance your life by continuing school and go to Gateway, put that money to good use, and get a good trades. Those are the stories. It's all about the kids. And, you know, my background is about the kids. You know, being on this foundation for 26 years plus, why am I on the foundation? It's not for me. It's for the kids. I'm also a scout leader.
Okay.
I'm a scout leader for 26 years. Why am I a scout leader? My son made Eagle. He's done. He's been done for years. But it's for the kids. So being on the foundation and trying to help the organization maintain its status. And the funny thing, Eitan, I don't know, you know, we used to have, in the early days, our bank balances used to be at zero. We had a hard time collecting money. We had a hard time getting money. And now I can say our bank balances, because of the effort of the boards, and it's many people that have served on the boards, not long as I have, but I don't know how and why people don't want to stay longer. I have. But our bank balances have grown, and we've monitored, and we've been good, responsible stewards of our money, and we wish we'd have more. So that's the biggest thing for the audience that we could have, is how can we get more funds to be able to do further educational grants, whether it's scholarships or whatever. That's our biggest goal and motivator is for these children. So, yes, Johnny having a D grade point average and getting a scholarship, I just
wish. It does happen.
Oh, it does happen. And it's like a big surprise then.
Well, you know, some of our scholarships are actually geared towards that. So it's been nice. It's beautiful when it's awarded, even to 4.0 student. There's scholarships like that. The family, the kids all get very excited. Some of these scholarships are 4 years, some are one. But there are scholarships like the Johnson Scholarship that, for example, targets people who have kids who have graduated through an alternative method. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 20, 30 years ago, they were questioning if they should even have a policy. You know, there's the regular credits to graduate, and then there's what's called the HSED, or like an alternative way. And over the last 30 years, the alternative way have gone from maybe a few kids to close to 250 kids a year, anywhere from 150 to 250 kids a year graduating through this alternative way.
So I'm going to stop you, because would the alternative way be a GED?
It's very similar.
Okay.
It's very similar. You know, they take ITED tests. I don't want to bog down, but
right.
Yes, it's not through credits. Something occurred that then they had to do an alternative way where they took a minimal amount of, you know, 4 or 5 classes and did like a GED panel of tests, but it's called ITED. And then they get the exact same diploma, but they struggled to get there. It was not just through credits, not in a classroom, and oftentimes has either, you know, in and out of, you know, either home life issues, incarceration, drugs and alcohol,
maybe
all kinds
having
of
a child.
Right. Having a child.
We were talking about this before we came on the air. We were talking about, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Kenosha became the big question as far as having the baby center at the old Reuther.
Mm-hmm,
and you know, the idea that it should not it should not end an academic decision, because you have a child. And it was very much unfairly put on the woman's, the young lady's front door, mm-hmm. that, you know, you didn't hear about the young man dropping out of school to take care of the baby. It was the young lady that was making that decision. And Kenosha really stepped forward. We were, in the Midwest, one of the very first that made that possible. And you're talking another step now to be able to offer people that have had roadblocks put in their way to be able to reach their particular goal.
Yeah, more and more donors actually want to see the funds go to the disadvantaged or the kids that have gone through some circumstances and target those students instead of saying, you know, 30 years ago, well, it's their fault or,
right.
you know, they...
It was a different, whole different world. It's really
It's a totally mind shift.
Right.
And it's beautiful to see because it does end up being more powerful and impactful to get the kid that's in that type of setting out and then becoming maybe a college father or mother and then end up having their kids go to college.
Sure.
It changes generations of people.
It does. The other issue that I would tell you is if you find people that have overcome these challenges, they are different individuals than the individuals that never had to mm-hmm. overcome challenges. I have five kids. And one of the things that we really stressed with my five was that you have to have coping skills. And I think, and this is just my opinion, one of the things I've seen change over the years is that there seems to be less coping skills than I grew up with. I was told, figure it out and deal with it. And that's what I found. And I would love a comment. Do you still have people do that? Do they still have those skills? Or is it just anecdotal that today's young people are struggling with that part?
I think they struggle with it. I see it in a lot of areas, even in my scouting career with the current scouts. They have sometimes difficulties making the correct choices because they don't know how to make the choice. So, yes, I have to agree.
I would say most of our adults have gone through our education system, and our adults have some issues with having coping skills with each other. So I would say that reflects
sure.
that we were losing some of that. But I also think that there's some hope there. Because we do have the other side of the coin where someone, you know, that is looking over the applications is saying, you know, is wrestling with, oh, I'm going to give it to a kid who has 2.1 over a kid who has 4.0. They've studied every day. They've done well on tests.
Sure.
Working very hard at school. So it's a wrestle between the two, and hopefully if we can get the application correctly and if we can know the context around what's going on, that's important, and that's what the donors really, I think that's what we all look for.
When the last 4 years, let's talk COVID, has it changed your scholarships? Has it changed what you do or how you do it?
No, we actually fought through that, and we did a lot of Zoom meetings. You know, we continued, but our scholarships have remained steady. The applications come online and stuff, so we really didn't have to change much.
Are the kids different?
I think we saw at times less scholarships. They were holding back some. In terms of a volume, you know, we could get 75 scholarship applicants for one scholarship. And I think that first year, maybe we got half that amount. Yeah. So we saw it, but we still saw the scholarship requests come in. But the board, you know, we handled that by saying, well, it is what we have. All we can do is go out and broadcast that as much as we can to the schools, to the counselors, to the people. I know when I see somebody that is in that last year, I say, don't forget about the Education Foundation scholarship program. You may get it, you may not, but again, you have to apply to be able to be considered. That's the most important thing. So, but through COVID, I think we saw diminished that first year, but the second year it seemed to pick up. And now, hopefully this year, we're back in the full swing after that COVID nasty stuff.
Yeah, and let me put in a plug that if someone out there is doing a scholarship, we get this sometimes, and you're having trouble finding the audience, or you have only one or two or three applicants, we can do that work for you where we get you the applicants. You can still decide who gets the scholarship and even award the scholarship at the high school if you want. So those opportunities are there. So if you're having trouble, please come to us, Education Foundation of Kenosha.
Exams, the ability to take a test. I talk to a lot of people, a lot of young people, a lot of people, I'm 58, old like me. Some people are naturally gifted at taking a standardized exam. Some people, no matter what they do, struggle at taking a standardized exam. In my wife's case, and I can talk about this, she always gives me permission to do so, she's dyslexic, and a standardized exam, filling in those circles, was agonizing for her. And through being at a school out east, Indiana University of Pennsylvania, she went to nursing school. Within her first week, they called her aside. They have a top 10 teaching school out there as well. And they said, did anybody tell you you're dyslexic? And she's like, I don't even know what that was. This is back again in the late 80s, early 90s. And how do you, when you are looking at the applications, how do you recognize? You brought up the person that really struggled with school for one way or the other. How do you recognize to be able to give the opportunity to those individuals? And when we're done with this question, we'll go to teacher grants, because I think that's really innovative, and I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Well, you're very poignant. I don't know if you meant to connect it, but COVID and standardized tests actually were connected.
That's
and
right.
Are connected. We don't have a standard test for applications. However, we do have a requirement that you've gotten into a college on applications.
Okay.
And getting into colleges the last, since COVID.
Has changed dramatically.
It has changed dramatically. Actually, even Madison took off their requirements for even submitting that you took the ACT or SAT. So more colleges than not now don't require the standardized test. And they saw that predictors of doing well in college is actually the grades that you're getting in high school. That's the number one predictor of if you're successful in college. So that has changed the landscape. More kids are then getting into college because that standardized test is not a barrier. And then thus they can apply more for a scholarship.
Okay, now let's move to the second part of the EFK program. That's Education Foundation of Kenosha. And by the way, if you're just joining us, this is Education Matters. I'm Bob Hegarty, and we're on WGTD 91.1. We're thrilled to be talking with the gentleman today from the Education Foundation of Kenosha. And we've been talking about the last 29, 30 minutes about scholarships. And there's another way that they help our area, and that's talking about teachers' grants. And when did this start, and exactly what is it?
You know, I don't know exactly when it started, but again, the program, as Eitan has described, it's the opportunity for our great teachers to submit an idea, and what we do is we call it seed money for a new innovative project that they have brought up for their classroom, or maybe it's an after-school program, maybe it's even during lunch, where they could have some type of involvement with their students, and they've come up with this idea, but they can't fund it. So where do they go? KUSD doesn't have the supplemental funds. They can't find a private donor. So lo and behold, the Education Foundation came up with this teacher grant quite a few years ago. And they said, well, if you apply, tell us about your project, explain how it's going to impact the people, the students that you're going to get together, what's the program all about, and what do you really need the funds for? We wish we could fund them all. Obviously, being good student or stewards with money, you have to be careful. So really, it's all about a project that can be innovative, and it could be as easy as a $100 request. It could be $1,000. It could even be $15,000. We have a hard time funding a $15,000, but we might give partial. It all depends on the criteria that we have and what they've asked for. We've done books, which is kind of faded out because that's really not new and innovative. But early on, I can remember the thousands of dollars we spent for supplementing books in the classroom so that someone would have
textbooks.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry, not textbook. Most of it's always been reading.
Okay.
Reading books where, and it's typically your early age, you know, your first grade, second grade, third graders, that they didn't have the chance to take a book home. You know, and all of a sudden it's a possession that they could take home because, you know, the library wouldn't let them take it out. And projects like that where it's just been exciting to hear, and what we actually do is they apply it, we review it, then we ask them to come in and do a 10-minute presentation to the board or to the committee, and sometimes they invite their students. It is so exciting to watch how they present. And so if it's a high school or even a junior it's middle school now. Mm-hmm. As you can tell how old
I too.
Am.
Yeah. I went to Lincoln Junior High School, not middle school. Right?
And when they present their project to the board, it's like, this is what we're really hearing now versus what was read through the application. Mm-hmm. And then we understand it. We ask questions. We send them away. At the end of the meeting, the board committee looks at, we vote, we allocate dollars, and then we go ahead and provide them some funds. Or we say no, unfortunately. But it's really fun because then we get to follow up on these teacher grants to say, how did you do? So we ask for, when your project is in
feedback.
Some phase, yes, provide us that, especially at the end of the project. It's just... I mean, that's what it's all about.
Some pictures or, what happened, how did it go? Do you want to talk a little bit about how it was very stringent? And as far as, you know, there was limitations on what we could do. And now there's a donor that came in to provide even more for teachers.
Yeah, we always have that hard line. And it's due to the fact that I've been there a long, long time is that there are some guidelines that we have that I will not allow us to replace computer equipment. And if you think about the computer days, we had requests for computer
laptops. You did, right.
You know, mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that should be funded through the school district. So our hard lines, and of course I still use part of those today, again, being good stewards of money, you have to say no, unfortunately. And was it really under the guidelines of a new innovative project? You know, And as Eitan says, we did have a gracious donor that passed away, that left in their will, that actually got us to the point where if it aided the teachers, just aided the teachers, we think you should reconsider. So it gave us the opportunity where we had a gray area and we would say no. Now we have a good area that we can say yes or a partial yes. We wish we could have more donors like that, that we could have some gray areas, because it's all about the bottom line, the kids. How is this kid going to enjoy this during their club, their activity, or just being in the school system with enhanced things that they're doing? I mean, it's so exciting to, especially when they come and present. It's really an exciting thing.
Yeah, it's really exciting when, you know, we couldn't before say yes to transportation, and now we can maybe fund that, or, you know, these innovative, they might not be as innovative. You know, we have, for example, the project Free Motion, Dimensions of Learning, Mitosis Mansion at ITA, Indian Trail, Be an Investor, Inventor in Bolin, Outdoor Adventure Club at Washington, Think of Our Vets at Curtis Strange, Club Jaguar at Jefferson Elementary, Girls to Lead, Brass Community School, School-Wide Service Learning, Pleasant Prairie, Once Upon a Time, Wilson. There's just so many that come in, and now we don't have to give out as many no's. Actually, we're close to 100% of the grants that are applied for are getting funded. So because these donors see that, you know, just if you have a teacher who's at school who wants to teach elementary girls how to lead or do some engineering projects, and there's no funding, which obviously there's a lot of funding issues in our education, that doesn't mean that the teacher and those kids shouldn't do that. And this is the one spot that actually puts money into education where then they can do these just so powerful, so impactful projects that would not happen without this Education Foundation of Kenosha.
So if they want to talk to you about a grant, how do they go about doing that?
Is that a teacher?
Yeah, let's start with the teacher.
The teacher, actually, they just need to go to our website and fill out an application.
Okay.
And that's done three times a year. Matter of fact, we have a round coming up here in December.
So I'm assuming that there are, let's say you get 20 applications and you're planning on funding five. Your first round would take you to 15, and then your second round would take you to 10, and your third round you would take you to five, and you'd fund the five. Am I on the ballpark here?
Well, the round is, maybe I just misunderstood, there's three times a year that they can submit grant requests.
Okay.
So it's at the beginning of the school year in December, and then it's in March, is it?
Right.
Just before the end of the school year. Because everybody doesn't, beginning of the school year, they're so busy in that, they kind of forget, and we do broadcast that out. But so a round would be each quarter, actually a third of the year goes by, and we do that. And if there's 5 to 10 or 15, again, we make our decisions. So we could have 45 grants all year long, and we could get 15 one time, 10 the next time, and then the balance, it's whatever. Again, it just needs to be a good project that's innovative, that captures our hearts, as Eitan talked about. And if it's well worth it, I tell you what, you have the full support. Or, again, partial funding. Some grant requests would say, well, it didn't meet it. And then we say, oh, by the way, here's an alternative resource you can go after. Or if you resubmit your grant for the next cycle and change this and do a little bit more here, you might have a better success. So we don't like to say no, but we kind of give them some ammunition to say, resubmit it if we do say no, and here's what you might want to do, you know, so.
Yeah, I would add that so the staff, all KUSD staff get newsletters monthly, and it's promoted there. And it's also nice to, you know, at a principal's meeting last last month, I reminded the principals, a lot of times the teachers go to the principal first and say, hey, I want to do this. And the principal's like, I don't have the money for that. Sure. I don't have the budget. But it's nice that the principal then can say, why don't you try this Education Foundation of Kenosha grant? And there's even a spot where you've checked in with your principal. Mm-hmm. And then you can, we fund, you know, outdoor classrooms or, you know, big chess sets for the outdoor. I mean, all kinds of fun things that, again, you wouldn't have this outdoor classroom if it wasn't for this grant and hooking up money. It would just be, you know, kids inside at a desk. Again, it's, right. You know, this is an opportunity that, you know, it might have been small before, but it can make changes, life-saving changes to kids, elementary kids that are outside, you know, learning might have a whole different perspective on learning than at a desk inside.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. I mean, I remember many times where if getting up and doing it as you learn can be a different way to teach.
Definitely.
And outside would definitely be part
definitely.
Of that.
Definitely. Like, you know, to say, you know, inventions are fun and then explain them on a board is great. But then if you can get funding so that each kid can do an invention, invent something in front of them, hands on, and then they go and show their parent that can't happen without the Education Foundation. Right. Why? There's not enough funding to give everyone a project at their desk that costs, you know, $30 to $50 a kid.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, when you have an opportunity of learning about science, I mean, we've done this a couple times, mm-hmm. where a student has actually seen a chick get hatched. Well, how do you do that when you have no funds? Well, we did a couple of programs that she tied it in with the social hour. She tied it in with some science and asked for funding. I think that was like $150,
definitely.
You know. But the excitement that we saw, they videotaped stuff for that chickling to hatch, and these little students seeing that for the very first time.
Definitely.
That's what we're about to see,
definitely.
That excitement. So
even the kids get in on it. You know, IT kids wanted to build a house for a student with disability, kind of a clubhouse in the back of his, and they were gung-ho, but the lumber, the labor, everything takes thousands of dollars.
Right.
And the school is not going to fund making a house for a student with disability. They got to do it because of us, and they sent pictures. The student with disability made a card of thanks. And, I mean, it's just so heartwarming to be able to be part of that and know that it couldn't have occurred without hooking up donors with these educational experiences that the grant is life-changing.
I want to thank both of you so much. Learned a lot today. The Education Foundation of Kenosha, pull it up online. If you want to apply, you've got until the middle of March, but don't wait. If you wait, procrastinate, a lot of times they don't get in. So make sure you do that. And teachers, I hope that you take advantage of that as well. This has been Education Matters, WGTD. I'm Bob Hegarty.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org.
Support for WGTD comes from the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center. Benefit specialists help navigate Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and other benefit programs. Their services are free and confidential. Call 262-605-6646 for more info.
I'm Gregory Berg, and I hope that you will make a special point of listening to Monday's morning show here on WGTD. We're going to be talking about the importance of public schools and the financial pressures that public school districts are facing everywhere, but especially here in Wisconsin. Joining me in the studio will be Dr. Jeffrey Weiss, superintendent of the Kenosha Unified School District, and we will be talking about the referendum confronting voters on February 18th. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
Support for WGTD's local news and public affairs commitment comes from Casey Family Options, a tradition of trust. For more information, including how to get started in pre-planning, visit caseyfamilyoptions.com or call 262-653-0667. Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, offering fresh